Cleanse and refine my thought and affection. Seal me and make me as pure as thou art. Is that our prayer this evening? Again, greet each one in Jesus' name. And it's again a privilege to be together around the Word of God. At our place in Honduras, we raise several acres of coffee. And in the process, we also have a machine to do part of the wet processing of coffee, taking the pulp off. And since that's a machine there in the area, it also serves as a point for other farmers to bring and provide a service for that. And sometimes a little bit of buying and selling locally that we do. And with that, we need the scales to buy the coffee. So we have a floor scales that can throw the heavy sacks of coffee on and weigh them. Now we have several other scales. We have hanging scales, sometimes weighing dry coffee if we don't want to go down to the floor scales. We have a small digital scales that we use for weighing the 1 pound bags of coffee. And that one's a lot more accurate and very precise. It's very important to have those scales accurate. One year we were using a hanging scales to weigh the heavy coffee, and so we buy a little bit and resell it to kind of consolidate it there and then resell it. And the buyers from us, one of the buyers said, there's a problem here. The scales isn't reading the same. There's quite a few pounds of coffee difference. Well, there's an integrity issue sometimes with a lot of the buyers, but this time it seemed to be significant enough, so I actually went out and bought another scales and compared it, and it was significantly different. Same brand scale, same type of scale, but significantly different. And the scale could be calibrated, still have it, but it could be calibrated. Many scales can be calibrated because sometimes they lose their calibration. And it becomes a problem whether it's too much or too little. Either way is a problem. One way, I'm going to lose a lot of money. Another way, I'm going to be cheating somebody else out. And that needs to be calibrated. It needs to be right. And a scales to weigh is only as good as its level of accuracy and consistency. If that scale starts to inconsistently weigh the same amount, it's done. It's not any good. I might as well throw it out. Because if today it weighs 105 pounds and tomorrow it's weighing 99 pounds for the same weight, or I just keep hooking it on, there's only a certain level of inaccuracy that you can tolerate. But the scales in itself is not the standard. The scales provides a readout of a measurement against a standard. There is an absolute when it comes to weights. There are absolutes. And a good scales provides a good readout against that absolute. The scales itself is not the standard, but it's a readout for it. I would like to think this evening about conscience calibration. And we'll invite you to Acts 24. Conscience calibration. We have an example here of just a phrase that Paul uses in his defense before, I believe it was a Roman governor. And Paul says in Acts chapter 24, verse 16, "And herein do I exercise myself to always have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men." To always have a conscience void of offense. And my focus this evening, I would like to focus primarily on the oversensitive conscience. But I believe there's applications here to both. But most times, maybe in revival messages, we're maybe needing to stimulate the conscience that is not performing as well as it should. But sometimes there's a group of people that struggle with a conscience that's overly sensitive. And revival meetings can be a real hardship, can be a real challenge, can be a real time of confusion. And I would like, this message, I would like to help bring some rest to that. Not necessarily a message to have an invitation at the end. I don't believe it'll be necessary. It's a different type. Different type of need, but I believe it's an important need. But what is our conscience? I think it's good to understand, first of all, what is our conscience? This isn't a dictionary definition, but it's maybe a summary of it. But it's an inner sense of right and wrong, especially in judging one's own actions. It's that inner sense of right and wrong, especially in judging one's own actions. It's that sense of morality, that sense of, you know, that's what bothers us when we do wrong. But I would like to say that conscience is like the scales for weighing. The conscience is not the standard. The conscience is not the absolute. The conscience is the readout of a standard. And there are times that the conscience needs to be calibrated. We'll get into that a little more later. We have in Romans 2 the work of the conscience in a very broad way in humanity. You know, how is it that people who have never heard the gospel, people who have never read the Bible, maybe never heard of the Bible, how is it that they have a sense of right and wrong, at least in a broad way? Romans 2, verse 14 through 16. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. The Gentiles who have not the law, the Gentiles who don't know. The conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets. Yeah, I believe that goes on. But that's the Gentiles, or can I say the ungodly who have never heard the gospel, or have had very little biblical teaching, have a certain sense of right and wrong. Certain things just don't seem right to do it. Killing, stealing, lying. Some of those things can very, very easily be trained out, I guess. Can easily be decalibrated, uncalibrated. I'm not sure what the right word is there, but get out of calibration. But in a broad sense, mankind understands there's certain things are right and certain things are wrong. Even in nations that Christianity has not been a part of their formation. Just simply for a government to live and exist and to bring order to its people. Use things that are many principles that are biblical. Draw those lines on things that are right versus wrong. But that's in a very broad way. The finer details, our conscience needs to be calibrated, needs to be educated. Romans 9, verse 1. I would say the Holy Spirit and the conscience are not one and the same. Although God uses our conscience many times to speak to us and to guide us. But they are not one and the same. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. I believe God uses our conscience very much. But I believe we need to understand that those two are not the same. And sometimes we confuse that. Our conscience needs to be trained in truth. We have a tendency as humans to be people of extremes. For every mile of road, there's 2 miles of ditches. And we tend to be people of extremes, to either get in one ditch or in the other. And we either have the tendency to be not sensitive enough, 1 Timothy 4:2 and 1 Timothy 4:2 talk about the conscience that's seared, the conscience that's defiled, conscience that is not sensitive enough. Or we tend to go to the other side and be too sensitive, which is the primary focus of this message. But either way, our conscience needs trained in truth. It needs to be educated. First Corinthians, we have in chapter 8, we have the example of the conscience that is weak in relation to eating meats offered to idols. Chapter 8, verse 7. Howbeit there is not in every man that knowledge, for some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. And 12, but when ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. And Paul was teaching throughout the chapter that the meats offered to idols is really nothing. Meat is meat. The idol is dead. So that meat is perfectly fine to eat. But some, perhaps they had come out of pagan idolatrous situations where they had dedicated this meat, this food to the idols, and then ate it with that consciousness that this was something blessed by their idol. But Paul calls it a weak conscience in that case. But at the same time, he had a very, very strong, he educated, but at the same time, he said, I am willing, and I believe every one of you in this church, he says, should be willing. I don't know if he said it in those words, but you should be willing to give up something for the sake of your brother. We don't have to insist that because it's okay, I can do it. But he did recognize that there is a weak conscience. Sometimes there is a conscience that needs educated. And I mentioned revivals can be a frustrating time for a conscience that is overly sensitive. Why is that? And I have personally experienced this, and I have... I'll say sometimes I still experience some of the characteristics. But what are some of those characteristics of an overly sensitive conscience? It's a person, and I would like to also mention here that if you do not struggle with this, but you help somebody or you relate to somebody or you're a parent of somebody who does, hopefully this can help give a better understanding and a better help, how to help. But the person with an overly sensitive conscience, the scales is reading a little bit wrong. It's saying this is wrong when maybe it wasn't. It's constantly reading out warning. But it's a continual sense of guilt and a constant need to apologize. It seems you just never get done apologizing. And in fact, you may apologize and then you beat yourself over, or your conscience beats you over the head. That, did I really say that right when I apologized? I'm not sure if I totally told the truth when I said that. And your conscience is just constantly beating you over the head for something, even when you make something right. Or you apologize or you confess. You live in fear of saying or doing something wrong. In fact, many times it's better just to not say anything because you're afraid you're going to say it wrong. You're afraid you're telling a story and then later is, but I don't know if it was quite like that. Or you're asked, what time is it? And it's 7:30. No, sorry, it's 7:29. And things like that are constantly hounding you. And, you know, the person with an overly sensitive conscience can sometimes, often is very introverted or has an inward focus, is constantly analyzing their own, you know, what did I say? How did I say? How do I feel? You know, somebody asks, how are you today? Well, I'm fine. Well, not really feeling fine. And then you feel bad because you answered just fine. There are times when that could be wrong to answer that way. There's times when it's not wrong to answer that way. And not necessarily spill everything out that you're facing. But the person with an overly sensitive conscience has a really hard time deciphering when is it okay and when is it not okay. When is it a problem if I just say I'm fine? And when is it not a problem? Because continually analyzing, continually self-analyzing. Struggles a lot with the assurance of salvation. Am I really saved? Am I even saved? And yet there's a desire there to serve God. There's a desire to live a godly life. But that question continually coming up. Did I confess everything? Or is there still something hiding? There's a difficulty accepting God's forgiveness. And there's a fear. There's a fear. You live in fear of silencing God's voice. You know, have I committed the unpardonable sin? Have I blasphemed against the Holy Ghost? Have I quieted his voice? Will God keep speaking to me? And it can be very, very frustrating. I don't know how many of you know what I'm talking about, but I'm suspicious there's several of you here that do. It can be a very frustrating experience. But why is this? How is it that one person can go through one experience, say one thing or do one thing, no problem, doesn't bother him, and the next person, it does bother? And again, I go back, our conscience and the Holy Spirit, the speaking of the Holy Spirit, are not one and the same. They're not the same thing. Sometimes our conscience needs to be stimulated and sharpened. Sometimes we need somebody to say, brother, that was not a right response, and call our attention, or we hear something in a message, or whatever, and God prods us, and the Spirit speaks to us, and we realize, you know what, I've been really, really careless in my speech or in my actions. But sometimes we need to train our conscience that there are some things that bother us that do not bother God as much as they do us. And again, the conscience itself is not the standard, because the conscience, we live in a human body, a human mind, a fallen world, fallen nature. And our conscience tends to get out of whack, tends to get out of calibration, one way or the other. It's one reason we have revivals. But it can get out of whack on the sensitive side. And I believe one of the causes for that, I'd just like to move on to causes after characteristics, is causes. I believe one of the causes of that is a wrong concept, wrong understanding of God, who God is, and what is his plan for our lives. It's a zeal for God without knowledge. It's a desire. And I believe those of us that grow up in Christian homes, there's more of a tendency to that. We've been taught to be careful. We've been taught to, and you're taught from little on up, well, if your conscience is bothering, you know, it's God speaking. It's you need to listen to your conscience. And so when you snitch the candy bar or the cookie when you shouldn't have, you feel bad about it, and that's your conscience. And we're taught to be careful. We're taught not to lie. We're taught to live right and speak right. Live in honesty. Live in obedience. But as we get and so that carefulness of life that is trained into us is very beneficial, very helpful. But we can have that zeal, and we can get to the point of thinking that if I confess everything just right, then it will be fine. Then I will have peace. Then who doesn't want to have a clear conscience? Who doesn't want to have a clean slate before God? We all do. But when our focus becomes misguided and we focus on our confession as the answer or on our performance, we actually start down the road of a works religion where if I can obey the law in every detail, I'm saved. If I can obey Christ in every detail, then I'm saved. And I want to be careful. I want you to be careful. So some of these things that I say could be taken to an extreme and could be given as an excuse for a conscience that should be performing more accurately than what it is and is careless. But specifically speaking, if you struggle with an overly sensitive conscience, if the things I described earlier is something you struggle with, let's look at some calibration of your conscience. How can you calibrate it? How do we calibrate the scales? We have to take a known weight, 100 pounds, 3 pounds, 5 pounds, 10 pounds, whatever it is. But you have to know that it is a standard, accurate weight. And then you calibrate your scales to read that weight. You don't shave off the weight so that your scales reads the right amount. You don't add a little more so your scales reads the right. No, you take that weight, that known absolute, and then you adjust your scales. You calibrate. And we have to do that with our conscience. How do we calibrate our conscience? We have to take a standard. We have to take an absolute. And that is, number one, instruct your conscience through the word and truth. The Bible is our absolute. Sometimes an overly sensitive conscience just feels a lot of unrest a lot of the time. I don't know why I feel guilty, but I just feel guilty. I don't know why I don't feel good, but I just don't feel good. Something must be wrong with me spiritually. Something must be wrong with my relationship with God. And so you look for things to confess. You look for something that isn't right, to place your finger on it, because something just doesn't feel right. Just as an example, let's go to Philippians 3, verse 15. Let's look at the standard. Let's look at God's word in relation to something like that, to calibrate that scales, calibrate that conscience. Philippians 3, verse 15. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Just a little thought tucked in there, that if in anything you're not living right, God will reveal it to you in his time. I think all of us can go back and look at when we first became Christians, when we first gave our lives to the Lord, and there were probably still some things after that that we needed to confess. And there were probably some things later on that we look back, and I know for myself, I can look back on some things that I continued to do and didn't think about it. But later, God revealed it to me. Later, I realized that, no, this isn't right. I need to change this. I'm not speaking right. And as we go through our life, God takes us through times. And God takes us through times of surrender. it's not only when we give our hearts to the Lord the first time that, the surrender issue is taken care of forever. We've surrendered. But later on, God takes us through another hard time, and we come to that point again, and we have the choice. Do we surrender or don't we? And we wrestle with it, and we surrender. Does that mean the first time we hadn't surrendered enough? You know, but God will reveal this to you. If there's a need in your life, God will reveal it to you. If you're open to Him, and that's what we want to be. We want to be open to God and let Him reveal. But if there's just that feeling of unrest that I don't know what it is, but I just don't feel right, you may need to just simply rest and say, God, if there's something here, show it to me. But otherwise, I take by faith your word that you will reveal it. If there's in any other way, if in anything you be, lost my verse, verse 15. If in anything you be otherwise minded, if you're not perfect, if you're not complete, if you're not doing everything, God will reveal it. You know, it's just one way to calibrate your conscience and say, here's the standard, here's the Bible. It takes faith. Believe me, it takes faith if you struggle with this. To just let go of that unrest and just put it away and say, no, God will reveal it if there's something there. And God will reveal it specifically. That takes a lot of faith because you're going against the feeling and that feeling of guilt and unrest. But again, calibrate that against the standard. Lying, speech is often a struggle that a person like this struggles with, is saying things right. And just using the example of the time again. We often speak in generalities. And whether we say it's 7:29 or it's 7:30 is not a real issue. If a young person calls home and says, I'm on my way home, Dad, I got a 2-hour drive, and I left at, 8 o'clock. And he left at 7:55 or 8:05, probably not a big deal. But if he said, I left at 7:30, and he spends a half hour somewhere where he shouldn't on the way home, or I left at 8:30, whatever, to make it hold out, where it's a deliberate intent to deceive, that's a whole different story. But we can speak in generalities. How are you today? I'm fine. A stranger meets you on the street and asks you that. You're not going to dump all your feelings on them at the time. But if mom knows you're struggling and says, how are you this morning? I'm fine. And you know she's asking a lot deeper than that. Then that is an intent to deceive. And that is a problem. But there are generalities, and a person with an overly sensitive conscience really can struggle with differentiating. But if you can think of it that lying is the intent to deceive, I tried to deceive, or what I said hurt somebody, then maybe it is something to confess and bring up. But you're telling a story, and you're telling about how this and that happened and the other thing, and later you find out it wasn't the same way as you thought. If it doesn't hurt anybody, you didn't intend to deceive anybody, it was just part of this, it was just a detail of the story, it doesn't really matter whether the person went through 3 stop signs or 2. It doesn't really matter if you got a detail of the story wrong. But those things can beat us over the heads. Our conscience can beat us over the head if it's too sensitive. And we feel like we have to somehow create a perfect perfection in our lives. Another point for calibration is we need to understand God's plan of salvation. Understand more fully. And the person with the overly sensitive conscience often, you are a Christian. You do understand the plan of salvation to a certain extent, but you may have a misguided understanding or a slightly warped understanding, and so your conscience reads out wrong sometimes. And going back to that creating perfection, Salvation does not depend on 100% performance. Were you saved because you gave God 100% performance? No, you gave God all the junk in your life. That's what you did. You took him your imperfection. And you said, I can't do this, God. I don't have it here to live right. You will never have your life so perfect that now God will accept you. You do not remain saved by 100% performance either. You did not acquire your salvations by that, and you do not keep it by that. And again, I say this could be taken to an extreme on the other side, but I'm not speaking to that side right now. Even if you apologize one more time, you will not be saved by 100% performance. That's why Jesus died for you. Because you can't do it. I can't do it. Only Jesus gave 100% performance, sinless performance. Sinless life. In 1 John 2, verse 1, again, comparing against the standard, the absolute of God's word. 1 John 2, verse 1, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We have a lawyer that stands and defends our case before the judge. We have an advocate. That's what an advocate is, a lawyer. You have a lawyer to defend your cause. I would be lost in a courtroom. I mean, that would be out of my element. I've been in courtrooms a little bit, but I was never standing there to defend my own cause. That would definitely be out of my element. Before a holy God, we're the same, even more so. But we have an advocate. We have a lawyer who is pleading our cause, who is there saying, God, Father, I have redeemed him, her. This is my child. My blood was shed for them. They have accepted my blood. They're covered. And as we come with our imperfections, because we cannot perform 100%, Jesus is the only answer. And I believe it's safe to say that God wants a heart that is turned toward him more than perfection itself. Is that saying it too strong? God wants a heart that is turned toward him more than perfection itself. Because he said, we have an advocate. If ye sin, we have an advocate. Not advocating careless living, no. But when we fail, we have an advocate. We have a lawyer. But God wants a heart that's turned toward him. Isaiah 57:15, he says, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. As we live with that attitude of repentance, as we live with that attitude of sorrow toward our sin and toward our failures and toward our tendency to sin, with a heart turned toward God that just grasps onto Jesus Christ as our only hope and says, I need you, Jesus. I can't do this. But I keep feeling pulled back towards sin. And I come so short so often. But my heart is, I want to serve you. I want to love you. I believe that's the heart that God looks for. More than, I'm going to say 100% performance or perfection itself. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me. Ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye search for me with all your heart. When you search with all your heart. And yes, the person with the overly sensitive conscience can even beat himself over the head with this thought. What if I'm only 99% of my heart toward God? But as we turn toward God and we say, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. That heart that just yearns after God and yearns after and just clings to Jesus Christ, he's the answer. It's not my performance that's the answer. It's not my confession that's the answer. It's Jesus Christ. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me. Why? Because their heart is far from me. Teaching for commandments, for doctrines, the commandments of men. So God wants us to understand his plan of salvation more fully. That your salvation does not depend on confessing one more time. Your salvation does not depend on a clear conscience. If that conscience is not calibrated correctly, your salvation depends on Jesus Christ and whether you are living what you know to be living, what he's revealing to you. And sometimes you have to take steps in faith and say, I know this is bothering me, but I know that the truth is that it shouldn't bother me. The truth is otherwise, that I'm going to accept in faith no matter how I feel. That can be extremely difficult. But as we understand that God is looking for a heart turned toward him, that life of an attitude of repentance. And accept his forgiveness and mercy with grace, gratefulness, with thankfulness. Understand that and accept it. Accept his forgiveness. God is not just waiting to beat you over the head with a stick. Unless your heart is turned away from him. Even then, he's going to plead with you. But if your heart is turned toward him, God is not that. We read last night Ezekiel, he said, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God didn't want to send his children into captivity. How much of our Bible is composed of the prophets where God pled over and over and over with his people? Yes, he pronounced judgment. He said, this will come on you. You will face this. You will be killed. You will be destroyed. What a terrible destruction that it was when the Israelites were carried into captivity. It was a terrible destruction. But God didn't want to do it. He just sent them rising up early and calling and speaking unto them. Over and over and over, God said, turn from your wicked ways. I don't have pleasure in the death of the wicked. Yes, he was pronouncing judgment, but he was saying, this is the warning. This is going to come. But I want you. I want your heart. And he just pled with it. That's the God we have. Yes, there is a judgment, but there we have a Father who wants our heart, who wants to give us blessing. He wants to pour out his, open the windows of heaven and pour out his blessing. That's what he wants to do with us. Train your conscience with the standard of God's word, with the truth, with the absolutes, what God does tell you about who he is. Learn who God is. Learn who his character is. And accept his mercy and forgiveness with gratefulness. Another help in calibration. I would encourage you to ask for help from other mature Christians. And even that can be a struggle sometimes. Because you can see the imperfections in the people around you. Whether it's your parents, whether it's other people in the church. you can struggle with that and say, but can I really trust them? Because there's some things that I don't think their conscience is reading outright. There's some things that I think they're careless in their life. But I would encourage you, if you struggle with this, if God has given you Christian parents, other faithful brothers and sisters in the church, reach out when you're not sure what to do. If you're not sure, do I need to apologize for this, don't I? Reach out. Take courage and do it. And I'm going to go as far as to say, trust their advice. Don't let yourself keep on feeling guilty and saying, but can I trust them? What if? Is God going to judge me for this? Even if they said, it's okay, you don't need to apologize this time. No, trust their advice. Take it as from God. God gave us the church for a reason. They're standing back farther. And, you know, I think it's even safe to say that you are safe for trusting their advice, even if occasionally it's not 100% the best advice. You're better off trusting their advice, taking it as from God, and moving on for that rare time, that very rare time that it might be wrong. I believe God gave us the brotherhood, an imperfect brotherhood, for a reason. He gave us imperfect parents for a reason. But somebody else that does not have all the emotional involvement in this problem in my life, this issue that I'm facing, somebody who else who is not, you know, I've got my nose up against the tree and all I see is the bark and the bugs. But somebody else is back farther and sees the forest. They don't have all that emotional involvement and can look at it much more objectively than I can. When I'm right up there and I've been struggling with this for days and my emotions just distort reality. Trust their advice as given from God, and trust that God gave you a brotherhood for a reason. Yes, they're imperfect. God gave you parents for a reason. Yes, they're imperfect. But they can help you. And they can help you calibrate that. And help you to, stabilize in some of those struggles. So as we come to the end here, I'd just like to, it's my desire that everyone here have a clear conscience. Be at rest, be at peace. A conscience void of offense, like Paul said. I strive to have always a conscience void of offense. And that's a conscience that when we have done wrong, we clear it up. And we repent and we move on. It's also a conscience that is guided and instructed by truth, that understands God's plans for us. It's clear. It's clear because we have the sin problem taken care of, and it's also clear because we've just given it over to Jesus and we've worked at calibrating. And we need to continue to train our conscience throughout life. And so I just pray that each one, that those of you that do struggle with that side of it, that God would help you to find peace. God would help you to find rest. And remember, emotions, conscience does not equal the Holy Spirit. Well, God uses it. And the better we train it, the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. And as we learn truth and we apply it to our conscience, the Holy Spirit guides us. And the Holy Spirit uses it. Jude gives us a blessing. It says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." Do you feel faultless tonight? Do you feel faultless? Jesus presents us faultless. It's Jesus who does it. He's able to keep us from falling and present us faultless I do not deserve that. You do not deserve that. But praise God, Jesus does that. And it's only through him. So we just hang on desperately to our lifeline. We hang on desperately to Jesus Christ, because he is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Glory to Jesus for his work for us.